All right. Good morning, recording people. So today we're finishing up our Seen and Heard series. Yeah, I know. I stayed up late last night working on this for you. Yeah, I did. Just for you. It was like midnight last night, and I was like, I should probably make a PowerPoint to go with this message. Hoping that you'd be here, and then we started singing, and you weren't here, and I thought,
I'm sorry, I had to take a
wasted all this time. It's not a very good PowerPoint. It'll work, though. It's got our stuff. It's the last one. Alcohol, drugs, and vaping. So, for you guys who haven't been here before for this series, I did a survey. I sent out a survey like in May for all the kids to take, all the students in the class to take. The goal was for everybody to take it. We had 15 people that took it. And I asked, like, on a scale of, like, 1 to 5, how much everybody struggled with all these different things. So we talked about anxiety and depression, academic pressure, pornography, alcohol. There's a bunch of different things. There's, I think, like 15 of them. And so we've been going through it since June. So today's the last day of it. And I did them in order of, like, the ones that the kids struggled with the most to the ones that they said that they struggled with the least. So out of 15 people, 13 people, like, selected the lowest, like, don't struggle with it at all on alcohol, drugs, and vaping. And then 2 people selected, like, the middle one, like, they don't struggle with it or they don't do well with it. So basically nobody said that they struggled with alcohol, drugs, or vaping, which is good that is what people put on the survey. I hope that's honest. The goal of the survey was, like, it was anonymous. Like, the goal was to get actual answers from people. And I think for the most part it was, because we got a lot of people that were open about some of the other answers that they selected. But at least in our group at the time when we took it, which a lot of them were junior high kids, that took it, or middle school kids. So, if I did it again with just high schoolers, maybe the results would be a little bit different. But, anyways, we were going through it in order. So this is the last one we're talking about, drugs, alcohol, and vaping. And so, as with all of the things that we've talked about in this series, I've said about pretty much all of them. If you haven't struggled with it or aren't struggling with it currently, that's great. But there will be time in your life that you probably will struggle with all of the things that we've talked about, at least to some degree. Now, I'm not saying that, like, everybody in here is going to struggle with, you know, alcoholism. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Not everybody's going to struggle really hard with every single thing. But for the most part, all of you are going to encounter opportunities, at least, to engage in or be tempted by or struggle with all of the things that we've talked about. Anxiety, depression, body image issues, academic pressure, all of the things that we've talked about. Like, at some point in your life, probably you will deal with them, or at least maybe you'll know somebody that's close to you. And so the goal of this series was to find out, like, basically where our group is at, like, what it is that you guys need prayer on. I've been praying for you guys. I don't know who selected which thing, so but I mean, just in general, just praying for all of the different things that we've talked about. And then to give just, we only spent 1 week on each thing. So in 1 week, if you struggle a lot with anxiety, you know, 1 30-minute lesson in a group setting like this is not going to, like, fix you of all of your anxiety issues. If you struggle with, you know, whatever the issue is, 1 session of 30 minutes in a classroom is not going to be like, oh, now that he said that one thing, now I've fixed it, now I don't deal with it anymore. So that wasn't never the intention of this series, but it was mostly to kind of, like, open up conversations and to start talking about some of the difficult things to talk about, some of the things that we don't like talking about or that we feel ashamed to talk about sometimes, or, you know, things that we just haven't addressed in this class before. And so that was kind of the goal, to see where everybody's at, to start talking about some of the difficult topics. You know, some of it's been uncomfortable throughout the time. Some of it has been easier to talk about. Some of the things that we've talked about are things that I've struggled with that I've been able to share a little bit about. Some of the things I personally haven't struggled with. And so it's a little bit different teaching about those kinds of things because I don't have a personal, like, connection with those things. That would be the case for today. Alcohol, drugs, vaping wasn't even a thing when I was a teenager to even struggle with that. But these are not things that I personally have struggled with. But, I mean, my dad leads a ministry at this church called Life Issues, where this is, like, almost exclusively what he deals with. And so, I mean, I've seen the impact, and not that my dad has struggled with those things either, but I've seen people come and go through that ministry who have struggled with these things. I know people who have struggled with these things, and so I hope that it continues, that all of you guys could say, you know, by the time you graduate high school or college or whatever, you know, by the time you're young adults, that you could say, like, yeah, alcohol, drugs, vaping, that was never an issue for me. I never tried those things. I never got into it. It was never a temptation or whatever. And so so that's kind of the purpose behind this series. So, yes, sir.
What? The worst drug?
I don't know. They're all pretty bad. I mean, yeah, I don't know that I would suggest any of them better or worse than other ones. But lethal-wise, I mean, fentanyl is pretty lethal. So, I mean, I guess on a scale, maybe that's on the farther end of it. I don't know. Don't do any of them. Huh? Okay, good. Okay, how many of you guys have heard of DARE before? Have any of you guys heard of DARE? Do they still do DARE in school?
Yeah.
Do they really?
Well, I didn't get it because, we would have been in my school. That's my COVID year.
You were in fifth grade in COVID?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
In your house.
That's weird to me to think about. Okay, so we had DARE when I was in school. Did you do DARE, babe? Yeah, okay. Mine was in fifth grade also. Was yours in fifth grade? Yeah. So, I just wanted those, as I was putting this together, I just like had flashbacks of Officer Matt, the officer that we had at my school, coming in and talking to us about drugs. I think he had like a rollout thing that had like little pockets of like what different drugs look like, and he would show us like what they look like. And the other thing I remember about him is that he had an assembly in fifth grade. He sang, it was a Garth Brooks song. I can't remember what song it is now. The River? I think it's called The River. No, it wasn't Friends in Low Places. I think it's called The River. It had nothing to do with DARE. Just he was like the school DARE officer. So he came in and at one of our pep rallies, he sang a Garth Brooks song. I don't remember what it was, but he killed it. Anyways, so I wanted to throw this up there just as an homage to my elementary school. So you guys still do that? And is it only in elementary school?
Yeah.
Do you guys do it at Adrian? Or did you do it right back?
I remember the high school coming song, but I don't remember.
Did you guys do it, Malia? At your school? No? Does Harrisonville do it?
I think they did it at one point. I remember, like, what was it? Like, elementary school, like, did it. They had, like, bags. I don't know what it was.
I didn't know it was still a thing. Yeah. They talk about drug usage in there? Okay. Well, I guess I had health in middle school. I don't remember a lot about that class. Except bad things about that class. Do you have DARE at your school, Ayla? Your dad comes in dressed like a police officer and tells you not to do drugs? Yeah. Ayla's homeschooled, so that's why I called her up. Okay, so so first we're going to talk about alcohol, and then we're going to do some, what I usually like to do is I like to do some statistics about these things. So talk about, percentages and what kind of a problem it is. Then we'll talk about a little bit about drugs, and then we'll talk about vaping, and then we'll look at some examples in the Bible and how all this kind of applies. So some of the stats for teenage drinking or underage drinking, it appears in some stats that I was looking at that has gone down a decent amount over the last 10 years. So in 2015, 58% of seniors had consumed alcohol while in high school. So 58% in 2015. And it's down, in 2024, it was down to 42%. So it's like, well, that's pretty good. 16% less seniors saying that they have used, consumed alcohol while in high school. But still, it's 42%. That's almost half of the kids that graduate high school have consumed alcohol during their time in high school. So obviously that's still not a good statistic. So even though it is going down, obviously there's still a lot of problems with 42%. The additional data on that, so 90% of those who consumed alcohol took 90% of teenage drinking is done in a binge drinking type of environment where they're drinking like multiple drinks. So a party or like it's not like, you know, they had a beer one time when they were a sophomore in high school, and then that was it. 90% of people who of that 42% who have consumed alcohol in high school did so in a binge drinking type of situation. So, I mean, society as a whole doesn't have much of a problem with drinking. I mean, it's pretty commonplace to have, you know, people on TV and advertising. I mean, most of the advertisements, if you watch football, most of them are, you know, beer commercials or tequila commercials or whatever. If you watch the Super Bowl, you know, probably half of them are beer commercials and half of them are insurance commercials. It seems like is the two most common commercials that we see. So, societally, it's not, really frowned upon, the consumption of alcohol. So, hopefully, you know, like what your guys' survey said, hopefully in our class or in this group, you know, we maybe you're aware of the dangers of drinking alcohol. Maybe it's just not been introduced to you yet. Maybe you haven't had access to it or things like that. But I hopefully, you know, that like we can avoid those things. There's some this is not. Can you all you guys read that, Malik? Can you read that? Is there a glare? Good. Okay. So this is just some of the risks of teenage drinking. So obviously death. You know, you guys have probably all heard of teenagers who have gotten in car accidents, whether they were drinking or the other person was drinking, or you know somebody in the situation was drinking and is in a car accident and died. That happens a lot. The stats I found was 4,000 to 5,000. Teenage deaths per year in the United States due to underage drinking. So it's car accidents, it's, you know, too much consumption of alcohol, it's, you know, falling down, like people drown because they're drinking in a pool or that kind of an environment, and they drown because they're too drunk or they overdose on it. And so, you know, sometimes the other thing too is, you know, sometimes maybe they're drinking but they're not the ones driving, but, you know, or they are driving, but they get an accident and the other person in the car dies. You know, so that stat wasn't included in that. It's, you know, if the person, the student or the teenager who was drinking and driving killed somebody else in another vehicle, I don't think those numbers were included in this. But, you know, death is a very real, you know, possibility when drinking. Injury for the same reasons, you know, that we just talked about with death. You know, it's injured in a car accident. It's injured because you know, did something stupid while you were drunk or drinking. Impaired judgment. So teenagers, I mean, especially boys, it seems like we think we're invincible, and our reasoning skills, our rationalizing skills are not keeping up with our abilities. And so we're overconfident in what we think we can do. And when you add alcohol to that, it raises your risk level and lowers your ability to reason. And so that gap becomes even bigger. And so, you know, you do a lot of stupid things. Boys do a lot of stupid things without alcohol involved at all. I'm not saying that girls don't do stupid things, but I've been a teenage boy. I know teenage boys do stupid things. But impaired judgment obviously is not good. Increased risk of physical and sexual assault. So being the victim of those things or also being the perpetrator of those things, the risk goes up a lot when drinking is involved, especially in a teenage situation. So obviously for all of you guys, like, don't put yourself in a situation where you could be abused or be the one sexually abusing or physically abusing somebody else. You know, don't put yourself in a situation where, you know, your consumption of alcohol or drugs has, like, impaired your ability to, like, reason through those things and take advantage of somebody or be taken advantage of. Trouble in school. So we talked about grades and stuff in here a little bit during the academic pressure. But, you know, obviously underage drinking can lead to bad grades. It can lead to failing. It can lead to being suspended from school, not being allowed to graduate. It can affect, like, your ability to get into colleges, to receive scholarships. Especially if you're like an athlete or you have some kind of, you know, other than academic, you have some other kind of scholarship to get into college. You know, they look at, you know, what kind of person you are, like what kind of character you have. You know, getting drunk and getting in trouble can be, you know, a big red flag for colleges. So it can cause problems in school. Obviously, it can cause problems with the law. So that 42% number, that's high school seniors. So the legal drinking age in the United States is 21. So high school seniors are 18 usually. So, you know, if 42% of 18-year-olds are consuming alcohol, I don't know what the stat is between 18 and 21, but I would, you know, guess that that number goes up quite a bit when kids, especially when kids go to college, things like that. So underage drinking in and of itself, you know, can cause problems with the law, but especially if you're in an accident or you damage property, and it's revealed that you were drinking while you were doing those things, you know, obviously that's going to compound the problem that you have. It can lead to jail time. It can lead to, you know, long-term issues with the criminal justice system. You know, it's just, it's not a good situation to be in. It interferes with brain development. So on average, you know, people's brains are not fully developed until they're 25 years old. So if you're drinking, obviously, you know, there's study after study after study that shows that it does damage to adult brains. But as your brain is developing, it can cause a lot of developmental issues. It can cause you to be more susceptible to, you know, being an alcoholic or dealing with alcohol issues the older that you get. So those are just some of the risks. Obviously, there's probably more, but those are just some of the ones that I found and just some information or stats about them. It's obviously not just a teenage problem. This is, I mean, all of these things could apply to teens or adults equally, but especially for teenagers, because of what I said, that, you know, like your risk meter is a lot higher when you're a teenager, and so it just compounds the issue whenever we're talking about dealing with drinking when you're a teenager. Okay, so some information about using drugs. So 2023 study that I found, 1.86 million teens, that's 7% of teenagers, had used drugs in the last month. About 25% of those teens used something other than marijuana. So obviously marijuana is like by far the number one most commonly used drug among teenagers and probably among adults as well. But 25% of those kids that used drugs in the last month, it was not marijuana. So it would be, you know, any other series of drugs. By senior year, 36.8% of students had tried an illegal drug. So again, almost the same as alcohol, which was a little bit surprising to me. I remember when I was in high school, drinking was a big thing. Like I said, I never got into that when I was in high school, or afterwards either, but drinking was never really an issue for me, but I didn't know a ton of kids that did drugs. I mean, I was aware of kids doing drugs at school. You guys are probably aware of kids that do drugs at school. But I was a little bit surprised to see that it was almost the same percentage as kids that used alcohol had also used some kind of drug. 11% of teens reported using marijuana in the last 12 months. 26% of seniors said that they used marijuana in the last month. 34% of seniors used marijuana at some point in their life. 68% of those who used marijuana did so through vaping. So obviously that's, you know, really has made it a lot more common. That and the legalization of marijuana in the state of Missouri has also caused those numbers to go up, I'm sure. This was in 2023. I don't remember exactly when it became legal in Missouri. Sometime around that same time, I think. But this is a nationwide stats anyway, so I guess it's not specific to Missouri. But that number is, you know, only going to continue to go up as it's legal in our state to do that. And, you know, it's almost impossible to drive around Harrisonville and not see the prevalence of vaping and, you know, CBD stores and stuff like that. They're popping up all over the place. I think we've got, I don't even know how many we have here, but it seems like that's the most, that and banks and car washes. For some reason, we have banks, car washes, and vape shops all over our town. And I don't know if it's the same way. Is it the same way like in Creighton, Garden City, Adrian? You're in Blue Springs, aren't you, or Independence? Huh? Are there any vape stores in Adrian?
There's a vape shop in Garden City.
Okay. Well, that's a little bit surprising, actually, because we've got a ton of them here. They're about to open that one up here by Sat Brothers. They were trying to make it 24 hours, and the city shut them down on that, which was good. But it seems like every store that opens is going to be a car wash, a bank, or a vape shop, at least in Harrisonville. Huh? Or Casey's, yeah. Or Dollar General, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, we had three of each of those, or the one burned down, but I don't know. So when I was in high school, vaping wasn't a thing yet. I mean, marijuana was still illegal at the time. I knew kids that smoked pot, but like, it wasn't really like super prevalent. But there was this ad campaign. I don't know if they still do ads or not, but it's called Truth. Remember those commercials, those Truth commercials?
Yeah.
Do you?
Were they
truth?
Well, anyways, there was this ad campaign. I think it started like in 2000. So I was a freshman in high school probably in 2000. And actually, I guess I'd be, yeah, freshman. What'd you say? I'm old? Oh, cool. Anyway, so there was this Truth Initiative. It was this organization, and they put all these ads on TV, and the whole thing that they were trying to do was to stop specifically teenagers from smoking. And so, like, okay, think about, I know it's weird for you guys to think about the year 2000, because it was before you were born, but it wasn't really that long ago. 25 years ago, it was not that long of a time period. I know it seems like a long time, but it's not. At that time, you could smoke in restaurants. Like, every restaurant had a smoking and a non-smoking section. So you go in, and the host would, like, ask you, do you want smoking or non-smoking? And it's like, I mean, it's all the same restaurant. So I guess we'll take non-smoking. But you could smoke in restaurants. It was not uncommon to find other buildings you could smoke in. And the Truth Initiative was out there trying to get teenagers to stop smoking. They were putting out ads. You know, they always had some kind of, it seemed like the ads were usually in black and white. And they would try to show the negative sides of smoking, like what it causes, you know, the cancer that it causes, the issues, the health, other health issues that it causes, you know. And so they tried to somewhat scare kids away from it, and also like just to present them with the truth. Because I mean, you couldn't go anywhere hardly without seeing people smoking. It was like, and this is in my lifetime, I mean, even longer ago, I've got these old ads from like the 1930s, 40s, 50s. I think this one's from like 1930. I don't remember when that one's from. But the like cigarette companies used to use what?
Well, when I was in nursing school in like 2008, at the hospital, you'd go by the courtyard, like an interior courtyard in the hospital, and there's patients out there smoking, there's respiratory therapists and nurses out there smoking, all smoking together, right there. And now it's like every hospital is no smoking anywhere on campus. It was so weird. And they used to smoke in the break rooms, like,
I know. It used to be super common. People used to smoke everywhere. And so doctors would recommend it. You know, 20,000 physicians say the Luckies are less irritating. It's toasted. Your throat protection against irritation, against cough. And this one, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarettes. And they use doctors, you know, to advertise, because, you know, even the doctors were smoking. A lot of that, they didn't understand all of the risks of it, obviously. Some of it was, you know, maybe big tobacco companies did understand it, but they used this kind of stuff to advertise back in that time. And then they also used actors. When I was a kid growing up, the coolest guys in the action movies, they would always be smoking cigarettes. This guy is way before my time. So is Breakfast at Tiffany's. I think I was alive maybe. When did that come? That was in the 60s or 70s. But then that's Brad Pitt from Fight Club, Cruella De Vil. You guys remember, have you guys seen 101 Dalmatians? Okay. Cruella De Vil, smoking cigarettes in kids' movies. Like, every cool guy and, you know, all these, even ladies like the elegant, you know, ladies are smoking cigarettes. The villain in 101 Dalmatians. It used to be very common, is what I'm saying. Like, they used to advertise it to make it, they used doctors to say that it was fine, you know, to downplay the health risks. What? I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but yeah. They advertised it in kids' movies. They made it like the cool thing to do. If you wanted to be cool, you smoked. And so the Truth Initiative in the early 2000s said, here's the truth about smoking and what it actually does to you. I think it was in the mid-90s, there was a class action lawsuit against a bunch of big tobacco companies that basically they had to pay out, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars in settlements to people because they had been lying and covering up the fact that they knew that all these risks were there and they still, you know, promoted it. And they made them start putting warning labels on cigarettes. So if you see a pack of cigarettes now, it has to have some wording on there. There's a bunch of different ones they can choose from. But it has to be, like, pretty harsh wording, like, you know, smoking causes cancer or smoking causes birth defects. Or they have to put some wording on there that, like, lets you know in big letters there's risks with this. You don't see – when's the last time you saw a cigarette commercial? I don't think they have cigarette commercials anymore. I don't think they're allowed to advertise on television. I don't know if they advertise on online or, you know, magazines, if people even still use those. I don't know if they advertise anywhere anymore. And obviously smoking is still happening. People are still smoking cigarettes. But all of these things, all of the work that they put into promoting this lifestyle of smoking and how it should just be part of your everyday life, that was, in my lifetime, that has been very common. And then has seen a steady or steep decline, like in the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, a lot of people have stopped smoking. Obviously, people now are at least aware of the fact that it causes a lot of health problems and other things. People die from it all the time. And so, you know, smoking has basically, I'm not saying it's gone. People still smoke cigarettes, but it's gone down dramatically. And it's been replaced by vaping, right? So, like, your guys' generation, do you guys know anybody in high school that you know? Do they smoke cigarettes? Do any of your parents smoke cigarettes? It's like not very common, right? You don't see people smoking cigarettes. But how many people do you guys know that use vapes? I mean, we could sit here all day and probably name off names and write down people, right? In your ages. So we did a good job, eradicating smoking for the most part, especially in teenagers, which was the whole point of that Truth Initiative. And that wasn't just them. I'm sure there was other people promoting, you know, getting cigarettes out of teenagers' hands. But then it has been replaced by vaping. And so I don't know what the long-term ramifications are. Nobody really knows what the long-term health consequences of vaping are. There's a lot of studies out there that obviously it's super addicting. They put nicotine in it still to keep people addicted to it. They don't necessarily advertise them to children or teenagers, but they put, you know, candy-flavored stuff and fruity-flavored stuff. They make them in, you know, colorful designs and packages and things like that to promote it to children without saying we're promoting this to children. There's a lot of – it's just become so common. You see people vaping all over the place. They do it in school. They do it in the airport. We've got one of the coaches on Lincoln's football team does it on the sidelines. It's everywhere. I mean, I've seen NFL coaches smoking on the sidelines or vaping on the sidelines, right? So it happens a lot. And the problem is we don't really know exactly what the long-term consequences of that are. So my warning to you guys would just be, you know, be aware of that. Obviously, my suggestion would be don't vape, don't use drugs, and don't drink alcohol. That would be my suggestion on all of those things is just don't get into those things. The addictive nature of all of those things is a problem, right? The high that you get from the drugs or the feeling that you get from the alcohol or the vaping, like those things are addictive. And obviously vaping has the added addiction portion of the nicotine that makes it even more addicting, like in a chemical way. So we're drawn back to those things. And so what does the Bible say about these things? Obviously, vaping was not around in Jesus' time, so we don't have, you know, verses that tell us not to vape. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." There's a lot of verses in the Bible that talk about not being drunk and to remain sober-minded, to have self-control, things like that. Those things become a lot more difficult when you add in alcohol or drugs into the situation. It becomes more difficult to be sober. We use the word sober, like almost exclusively in our culture, we use the word sober to mean not drunk, right? And that is an accurate description of it, but it's not just don't be drunk. Being sober-minded is like being in control of your body, like not having alcohol that is, you know, like numbing you to things, or not having drugs in your system that are causing you to not be in control of your body. And so this verse here in Ephesians tells us that, to not be drunk. Proverbs chapter 20, so the book of Proverbs is the book on wisdom in the Bible. If you want to be wise, if you want to have wisdom, if you want to carry yourself in a way that you make wise decisions, the book of Proverbs is one of the places that you want to go. It says in chapter 20, verse 1, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." So, you know, wine, strong drink, those things present themselves as it's a good way to have a fun time or a fun way to have a good time or whatever. Like, it presents itself in that way. But just like with smoking, just like with anything, when it's presented as this is the way that you can have more fun, that's not really telling you the whole truth of things. The Bible tells us that it's not wise to be drunken. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us," oh, there's a glare on that, "in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life, many suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Okay, so that's kind of a long passage with a lot of big words in it, but it lists out some of those sins, and it tells us at the beginning that Christ suffered, right, in the flesh, and so he's warning against, or he's telling us, like, hey, we should live our lives in accordance with the way that Jesus lived our life. Our goal as a Christian is to be more Christ-like in the way that we live. And so, you know, we should live according to the will of God, it says at the end of verse 2. We should avoid that list of sins there in verse 3, one of which is excess of wine. Then goes on to tell us that people might think it's strange if you don't run with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. I think we all know, like, people will notice and will comment and maybe make fun of if you don't partake in the same things, whether it's alcohol or drugs or it's cussing or it's sleeping around or it's dressing a certain way or it's the kind of music that you listen to or don't listen to or whatever the thing is, right? If you don't do things the way that they think that they ought to be done, then people like to point those things out and try to use, you know, teasing or, you know, some kind of manipulation to get you to participate in those things. This passage is telling us, like, hey, people are going to think that it's weird if your life used to be one way or the normal, like, way that society lives is this way and you live in opposition to that. People are going to identify that that's strange. I shared with you guys in here before, like, when I used to work at the bank, I worked at Commerce Bank for several years, and every year we had a Christmas party and we'd go out to, like, a bar and grill type of restaurant, and you know, the company was paying for the alcohol and the food and everything. And every single year, people were asking me, the same people I've been working with pretty much the whole time, you know, why aren't you drinking? The company's paying for this. Why aren't you drinking? And like, I had to, you know, just tell them every single time, that does not line up with the way that I want to live my life. I don't drink alcohol. And they always just thought that was like the strangest thing. And they never really like made fun of me about it, but it was always like a point of comment, like the same people every Christmas at Christmas party would say the same thing. Or if we went out after work for some reason, they would always ask, right? And the fact that I didn't cuss was another one. It drove some of them crazy. They just didn't like that I would not participate in the way that they were talking. And so people notice those things and people will point those things out. So, I mean, is that a high level of suffering in this life if somebody teases you because you're not partaking in the things of the world? No. I mean, that's a pretty light affliction that we deal with, but that kind of stuff happens in life. The more you live your life according to the Bible, and the less the culture aligns with the Bible, obviously the people are going to identify that, you know, you're living one way and everybody else is living a different way, and that can cause, you know, some comments from people. And so just be, you know, aware of that. Titus chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3, both of those chapters lay out the requirements to be a pastor or a deacon. And both of them say that a pastor or a deacon should not be given to wine or should not be given to much wine. So they don't expressly forbid the drinking of alcohol. But they do warn against, you know, partaking in that on a regular basis or being given to those things, allowing those things to take over your ability to control yourself. There's some examples of people in the Bible that got drunk, and some of the terrible things that happened because of it. You can look those up later. We're not going to read all these different verses and chapters, but the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 9, it might be interesting for you to read that. about what happens when Noah gets off the ark and gets drunk. Same thing with Lot in Genesis 19. I wouldn't call either one of those interesting, I guess. I should be more specific about how wicked those things were that happened in these chapters. But Lot, after they escape from Sodom and Gomorrah, and his wife dies, and he barely escapes with his daughters, that's a terrible story there. The Philistines in Judges chapter 16, that's when Samson, after his eyes had been poked out and he'd been enslaved for a while, they got all drunk and they called him there to be on display for all of them. And that's when he knocked down the pillars of the building and 5,000 people died. They were all drunk at that. King Ahasuerus in Esther chapter 1, that's when he gets drunk and he has this big party and he calls Vashti, his wife, the queen, and he wants her to dance for all these people. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. And so then he gets rid of her as queen. And then the search goes for, and then Esther obviously becomes the queen. And then the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is talking to them about, they have a lot of problems. Drinking is one of them, or being drunken is one of them. We're pretty much out of time, but one more passage in Proverbs chapter 23. I said I didn't put this in my notes, so let me read it real fast. Proverbs chapter 23, at the very end of the chapter, last few verses, it says, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes. So he lists off these things about, hey, how many of you guys are dealing with woes and difficulties in your life? How many of you guys have sorrows? How many of you guys are dealing with contentious relationships or situations in your life? He gives them this whole list of things, and then he answers the question in verse 30, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. That's a kind of snake. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And so it's just this warning and this reminder that, hey, it's not being in control of your body is going to cause you problems in life. It's going to manifest itself in any number of ways. And so whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's pornography, whether it's whatever addictive behavior that you have that controls your life, or that, for me, for a while in my life, honestly, it was video games. Like, I would be at work as an adult, after Brenda and I were married, and I'd be thinking about Call of Duty at work. Like, it didn't, consume my mind all the time, but, it would be on my mind. I'd be thinking about it at work, and I couldn't wait to get home to play. I know. I'm just saying, that's a real example of something that it consumed a large part of my life when I was in my early 20s, or mid-20s, I guess it was. And, we need to be careful of the things that we allow into our life. And so whether it's one of these things that we talked about today, or it's any of the things we've talked about in the past, if you're struggling with any of these things, one of the biggest things I can advise you or tell you is you got to talk to somebody about it. And I know that having a conversation and sharing with somebody, confiding in them about something that you're struggling with, is a really difficult conversation to have. It can be very scary to have the conversation. But obviously your parents would be a great start. Any of the leaders in youth ministry would be happy to talk to you about it. The pastors at this church, if you're being discipled by somebody right now, that person. If you find somebody that's responsible and that you know cares about you, I can tell you from times that students have approached me about different things, I've never been oh man, that sucks that you're dealing with that. I've never thought less of that person because they came and told me, oh hey, I'm really struggling with this thing right now. It was always oh man, this is an opportunity to pray for this person, to encourage this person, to give this person some help on getting out of this issue. The people that I'm giving you examples of in your life are not going to be people that are going to look down on you because of something that you're dealing with, whether it's one of these things or something else. We care about you. The reason that I've spent 8 years teaching this class and Nick and Kendra have spent so many years here is because we care about you guys. We care about the middle school kids. We want to see you guys be successful in life. And things that lead you away from what the Word of God says are not going to lead you to be successful in your Christian walk. You can be successful in life, you know, as far as the way the world views it, and still partake in some of these things. But it's very difficult to be a successful Christian, like somebody who lives their life according to the Bible, that also has these sin issues that are secret and hidden and that are controlling parts of your life behind the scenes. It's very difficult to live that life. You can do it for a while, but, man, eventually it's going to come back and bite you. And so if you're dealing with this or you want to talk about something else, I'm open. Brenda's open. Any of us are happy to talk to you. This is the end of this particular series. But like I've said the whole time, like, we're not going to stop talking about these topics. Like, they're going to come up other times throughout, you know, other teachings and stuff. So I don't want this to be like a one and done. Like, okay, we check off the list. We don't talk about alcohol ever again. You know, some of you guys are freshmen that 3 years from now, you're going to be in a totally different place in life when you're seniors in high school. And so, you know, we're going to be talking about it, you know, throughout what we're doing. So, yes, Brendan. We're going to do a series on character traits and character qualities. We're going to do some, like, word studies in here. Huh?
Comparing people to Jesus, kind of way.